Good afternoon. My name is Savannah, and I am the producer for the Roxborough House Roundtables at Jefferson East Falls. Each episode is recorded and later posted on our YouTube and SoundCloud channel for those who are not able to make it to the live event. They are also aired on the first and third Sundays of each month from 8 to 9 a.m. on G-Town Radio 92.5 FM WGGT. For today's roundtable, we're talking about residential life on the Jefferson East Falls campus. Our host, Eric, who is a second-year law and society major, we'll be discussing the benefits and struggles of living on campus, and we will hear residential living experiences from other students.
All right, so hello everyone. So I wanna start this off with just getting like a general poll of the room. So I'll just like ask for like a raise of hands. Like how many people here are like satisfied with like Jefferson housing and living on campus?
Yeah.
No one raised their hand. Okay. So I just wanted to do that to kind of get a starting point of seeing where we are. Now, I just have a few like different parts of like living on campus that I like to bring up and to hear student opinion on. But also, if anyone here wants to bring something up that's not included, please feel free to do so. So the first one is the sign-in process for guests into the dorms. So does anyone have like any thoughts and opinions about like the current policy for that and the process of how it's done? Okay, I will share my thoughts first then. So just for some context, to sign a guest in, you have to make them like their own profile of the sorts on the Jefferson Housing website. But then you have, and they'll ask like their name, phone number, emergency contact, and a picture of their ID. You only have to make that once, but each time you have to go, you want to go sign a guest in, you have to go in to the housing portal and then establish an estimated time of arrival and departure. And all students here are pretty familiar that it's a tedious and annoying process to do, as if like it takes a few minutes to get the page loaded up because either the Wi-Fi isn't working or we don't have good cell service, or sometimes the page just malfunctions and the security guard does not see like that you have submitted a guest entry. And then like looking how we have this done and then comparing to other universities, like Temple, for example, which is in a much, like, is it in a...
More challenging
area than East Falls. They have their sign-in process, it's simpler, it's more lax than Jefferson, and all you do is just hand in your ID, essentially, and then you're signed in. You don't have to do anything beforehand. So does...
Eric, is this for people who are not in the university or people who are outsiders, insiders, any difference between the two?
This is for any time you want to sign any guest in.
So if someone's coming from one dorm into your dorm, they have to go through this whole process, even if they have a Jefferson ID?
Yes, but there is an exception, though, like for the townhouses. You don't if you live there, you don't have to go through that, as there's no like security gate to go through. Or if you live in the apartments, like let's say I live in Jefferson, my friend lives in Madison, I don't have to go through that process. It's only if like I have a friend living in the townhouses and they want to come over, then I would have to go through all of that. Or if like my parents want to come up for some reason.
If Giselle said it was in a different dorm than you, Ronson, and you're in Stoller, I believe, whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're a Jefferson student. You want to go visit him, study, whatever. You have to go through this whole process?
Yeah, I would have to go through the process. And they make that delineation. You can choose like what type of ID it is, and you can submit a Jefferson ID.
So what's the point of it? I mean,
the thing I don't understand is like you have Jefferson student IDs. So if I were to sign in someone and they're a Jefferson student, I have to go through the whole entire process to even give their ID. But wouldn't it be easier to have a system where, because we still have to scan, like sign in, scan it anyways, wouldn't it have a much easier system for to have the set up the way that I put the reservation in, my guest signs their ID, it checks off the reservation, and then they don't have to go back and retrieve their ID. Because especially like now when it's like freezing cold at night, I do not want to go from Jefferson, which is the very far end, walk to the middle of IP to get their ID, and then walk to my car, which is usually at the very far end of the lot. So it just, it'd make a much easier sense to have a system where people or visitors who are students here, at the very least students who have an ID at the school, should be able to just scan in, and it should just check off that they're here.
I do think it's definitely an issue with the software that is being used by Res Life, that is being used by Jefferson and everything like that. It becomes complicated because there's so much reliance on these softwares, but they are not the best. They're not like mobile friendly. They don't load correctly sometimes and things like that. You'll get an error page a lot, and now you're left in like this, well, did it go through or did it not? And then you have to go through like the annoyance of like going to the like the security like office house thing. I feel like this is especially an issue for IP because there's only that one house. And you have to go through the one singular building to get to all three. And as Josh was mentioning, that's a lot of space to cover. It is tedious, it is annoying. But I feel like it's difficult to fix because of that reliance on the software. To change that would be to change the system, and that takes time, which takes money, and that's not something that Jefferson typically likes to invest in.
I mean, I'm in a townhouse this year, so it doesn't really apply to me this year, but last year I was in Schaller, and I would have like a guest every week or so. I would be like sitting at that security desk because it didn't go through, and I'd be re-putting it in like 5 times. I'd be there for like 30 minutes before I was able to go back to my room.
And this is another Jefferson student with a Jefferson ID?
No, this is non-Jefferson.
Okay, not. See, I could understand non-Jefferson because people coming off campus, we want to know who they are. But I don't get the point. If you're a Jefferson student already, you've been vetted, we know who you are, you have a picture ID, I don't understand the point of it. Does anyone understand the point of it?
No.
And for the freshman dorms, it would be different, the ones on the other side, because of how the buildings are structured. They're not like, you go in and basically you almost have access to like all the halls and everything like that. You can go in like through your ID. So I think from that perspective, it kind of poses like a security issue. Also, if you're like not living in those dorms, like if you're a freshman, I think you should be able to go like to the other freshman buildings. But maybe upperclassmen, like, why are you hanging around in like the freshman dorms kind of thing? That would be my only like reason.
So is there, anyone have any, like, and we talked a little bit about this already, but, like, any, like, ideas or solutions to make this, like, whole process easier on the students to, like, sign people in? Because even, I just want to bring this up really quick, that especially, I'm sure, Josh, you've seen this too, living in IP, but people will hop the fence because no one wants to go through that. It's an extremely tedious process. That'll take like multiple minutes, and it just takes 1 minute to hop a fence to sign someone in. So.
Should I? I'll be honest. I might be one of them people.
Josh is a made-up name.
I'm not real. I'm just voicing the concerns of people who are not students here. But when I'm coming back, I go to the Anytime Fitness at like 1 a.m., and I'm coming back. It's 30 degrees outside. It's frigid. I am going to be real, and I'm not going to, I park at the very end of IP, I'm going to look at that, walk to the box to sign in, to walk back to Jefferson, and I'm going to be like, all right, well, no one's here, I'm going to hop the fence. It's not that hard to do, and it would be a much easier process if I had to sign into my own dorm. Like, it's kind of, I understand the school's trying to save money by having just one security guard, but it would be much easier to have a security guard at the beginning of each of the buildings and get rid of that ridiculous fence. Because what's it stopping?
I would feel like that's concerning if it's only one security guard at a time, because like God forbid something ever happens to that one security guard, who's going to be over there making sure things are going the way they're supposed to be?
Do you guys feel safe?
No. Sorry.
Safe and like just like generally like on campus, do I feel safe? Yeah. Definitely. I would say. So having all these advanced security precautions, that just doesn't make sense for me since it is a safe campus to be on.
Do you feel like it's a safe campus because of those like advanced security that you're talking about?
No. No, not at all. I don't think having to like go all like through all this process to sign a friend who goes here, I don't think that impacts security on campus at all.
Yeah, kind of what like Josh is saying, if the process becomes so tedious that people think an alternative solution like copying the fence would just be more practical, I feel like that raises a safety concern, right? Because now people feel like they can just hop the fence, and like who's hopping the fence, who's coming in. The point is to go through like some type of security, some type of like we know who's coming into the building. But if everyone feels like that's too much, I'll just bring whoever in, hop the fence, then it's like defeats the purpose.
Counterproductive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you make it easier. See, the point is we want to know who's where, just for whatever reason. And if you make it easy, then you won't be having to hop fences, and we actually get what we want. But when you make it difficult, then people go around the system, and then you're getting the exact opposite of what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also like, either recognize that this campus benefits greatly from, like, arguably, this is one of like, the most redlined districts within Philadelphia. East Falls is, like, especially where we are right now, it is very wealthy, it is a very affluent neighborhood, and there's like yards that are like the size of my house back home. Like people have wealth in this area. It is not a high crime area at all. So to like have all these measures like that are more advanced or more like tedious than actual like campuses that have major crime within the vicinity, like Temple, like it is ridiculous. I'm not trying to like justify that this place is redline. It's obviously terrible, but it's a complete overreaction and is not even taking what we have for granted, like taking what we have for granted.
While I can agree that some like the process of like these safety precautions can be tedious, I feel like it shouldn't matter whether, well, it does play a factor where like the location of where you're staying at, but I don't think it should matter. Like even though this area is seen like to be a nice area and the crime rates are low, I don't really think that says anything, because like I could be wrong, like correct me if I'm wrong, but take a look at the Idaho murders. Wasn't that like an area that wasn't, like it was dead to crime for a while, and then those murders came around? So I don't really think the precautions should be taken away because it's a good area. I think that the precautions should still be there, but maybe make it a more manageable and easier process.
Yeah.
And more effective, where people are not forced to go around the system, but actually use the system.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I'm just like too America-pilled, but when I go into the Cam Bar, that building is open 24/7, and it is one of the most populated areas on this campus.
6 o'clock.
Until 6 o'clock.
Six o'clock, you need your ID.
But it really doesn't make any sense, because when I look at this campus, and especially in a gun America, there's no one stopping people from breaking in and just shooting out the glass. This is not bulletproof glass. This is just regular glass. If people wanted to do harm to this campus, they could. Putting a scanner on these doors does nothing. It is just making it more difficult for the people who want to actually come to school here. And if people wanted to do harm, they would. And I doubt the public safety would do anything to stop them.
I feel like this, just like speaking on this issue and everything like that, I feel like it's more concerned with how public safety manages and operates rather than how residential life kind of like operates. Like residential life is more like the facilitator for public safety's kind of like what they want to do and everything like that, like have the office have people sign in and things like that. So I think it's like firstly important to recognize that. But to Josh's point, like yeah, like people who want to do like extreme harm, like this is a very open campus, and I feel like you'll always like quote unquote run that risk. But I see the point of like having a scanner like after 6 o'clock, right? Because like you don't want just kind of like anyone going into these buildings and things like that. Is it effective in like stopping, say, like somebody who wants to do serious harm? Probably not, but like I don't think that's necessarily the point, right? It's just to make sure that like it's students who are really like accessing these buildings after hours.
Yeah.
That's like my like argument with like the gym. Like the gym closes on the weekends at like 4 o'clock, which is ridiculous because if you have an ID, you should be able to go in whenever you want, realistically. And if something were to be stolen or something were to happen, you have cameras to look for that perpetrator, and you can just track their ID and know who it is. If you're saying like we should have a school that's closed off by scanners, then we shouldn't pick and choose what things that we have that are closed off and that aren't closed off.
I agree with that.
So now I want to move on to another part of housing, the laundry facilities within them. I could say, as of right now, living in the on-campus apartments, I'm on the second floor, and there are 2 washers and 2 dryers for the first floor and the second floor to use. And then the third floor would also have their 2 washers and 2 dryers to use as well. And there's this limited supply of washing machines, dryers, is also seen across campus in the other res halls, making it either extremely difficult and rare to like do laundry like at a normal time, because I could say most of the time I have to like plan kind of far in advance when I'm going to do my laundry. Like I have to say, okay, I'm going to do it Friday like late in the evening because I know a lot of people will go home and that these washers will be open for me to use. So I was just wondering, if anyone here, do they have any similar experiences with this? Do they have any comments?
The best time to do, I've like looked at it, the worst time to do laundry is on Sunday because when people are coming home, and Wednesday because that's like the midway point of the week. The best times is by far Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, especially like Thursday and Tuesday, those days are the best. The problem is, I want to go do laundry, and a few weeks ago, in Jefferson, every single washer was broken, except for one. So I had to walk over to Madison to do my own laundry. And then because people were doing that and people were taking all their laundry at once, the laundry can't handle all that at once, their washers got broken. So now it just feels like if this is not like kept on top of, and if we are not making sure that our washers are actually working, and this is just gonna lead to a bigger problem. And there's only 4 in each building, so it's like they're not giving us enough resources to actually do our laundry. Like they have like 40 washers in Ronson, but 4 in the entire building of Jefferson.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you guys, because I don't live on campus, when you guys go, this might be a dumb question too, but when you go to wash your, do your laundry, do they provide like anything for you? Like if you might not have anything?
All they do is like how other universities you might do quarters. It's all included to use the machines. They don't provide, though, any like fabric softener, dryer sheets, or laundry detergent.
Which, I mean, that is definitely a notable plus for the laundry facilities here, not having to, you know, either download another app or something to handle the finances or, like, go to some, I don't know, bank or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be cute. Regarding the like, definitely the number of washers in other dorms. Like Ronson has like a decent amount, but like in other dorms it is severely low. And I just think in comparison to like how many, like Josh was saying, how many people live in the building, in comparison to like the 4, or like in, I know Fortez, like you have an entire hall and in like an entire building and there's like 2 washers, 3 washers, and things like that. They are susceptible to breaking and things like that. But there is like the work order process because obviously like.
But do they go immediately?
No.
They take time because it goes through. It goes through. It's not the Res Life who handles that, or like our like facilities who handles that. It's another provider who handles that. So. Again, it's running into, like, who is providing, like, what resources are we using and things like that. That, again, is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Are the like washers and dryers, like, are they high quality or are they just like like decades old probably?
They're old.
Yeah, they're old.
And I was my freshman year I lived in Fort Hess. And there was in my hall two washers, two dryers. One washer was broken for the whole semester. So that whole hall only had one washer and two dryers. And now that I'm in a townhouse my junior year, we don't have washers and dryers. We have to walk the shower to do our
laundry. That's what I was thinking of.
And I have like two baskets full of clothes because it's so difficult to find the time to walk over the shower back and forth doing your laundry.
I mean, we shouldn't have to be going through like this extreme process to figure out how to do laundry because the university knows that we are like busy people, that we have other priorities, like classes, clubs, other commitments that we want to do. But then, but for laundry, again, it just adds to that burden of needing to get things done. It just overall makes it just more stressful to live on campus.
I feel like people might hear this and being like, oh, they're complaining a little too much and things like that. But it's really annoying. And
like you try living with it.
Living with it and everything like that, and then realize it's like burdensome, like Eric was saying. Like you should have access to laundry within the dorm or the hall that you're living in. So when things break or when things there's just not enough for having people there, and like you're scheduling times and things like that.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's just weird. And we can do better, is I feel like the point of this.
Yeah, and it also, like, not having enough to supply for an entire res hall, it then could lead to some, I guess, like, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe like a, quote, revenge, like, low-key, of people messing with someone else's laundry because...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like just
people's clothes and things like that.
Yeah, like just the other week, I waited and I took someone's laundry out of the washer. And then I go back to, I forget why I went back into the laundry room. I think the washer for my clothes was done. Some of my clothes was in the utility sink.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And if we had enough washers and dryers, that probably wouldn't have happened.
You have a sink.
In the first place. Mm-hmm.
I've totally done that before.
You put people's
not in the sink. That's madness. But there's a folding table, and I at least have a decency to put it there.
Yeah, I put it on the table.
But yeah, I feel like we would run into less of these. Like, I know especially like laundry is such like a high point of contention between residents.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
you fight.
Yeah, like low key, like oh, who didn't take out their clothes and everything like that? I'm about to start throwing out clothes and things like that. Like you avoid that with just having enough and making it accessible. And like to Amy's point, I feel like we can better it by having like a little vending machine there. I don't feel, again, like you would have to go through another supplier if you wanted to like end the like, oh, someone who can like fix it faster or things like that. Because we do go through another provider and I don't see us replacing all the washers and dryers.
It should take like a whole semester to fix one broken one, you know?
I feel like that becomes like an issue of people not knowing that they can put in a work order themselves.
Is that the resident's job to put in a work order for the washer?
If you notice that there's something wrong in your hall, dorm, or whatever, wherever on campus, then yeah, like it would be beneficial. Cause like who's like looking through and checking through that often?
Yeah.
And who has more access to it, who's using it more, it's the residents. So it's extended to them to, like...
Well, wouldn't RAs have more of, like, a burden also to do that? Because they are overseeing people living in these buildings, and they go through, remember seeing last year, RAs, like, going through and, like, walking in all the buildings, checking everything. I mean...
Yeah, so
do you check like the laundry facilities
too? Yeah,
we too?
Do.
Oh, you're an RA?
Yeah, I'm an RA. And we do go check buildings and we do go check laundry and things like that. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to like check if things are working. We put in work orders and things like that. So yeah, but like things take time. I know in the Ronson office, the laundry room, the machine was broken and they had a sign like, it's going to be a while because we don't have the parts and things like that. again, I think that comes down to like the provider we're using and like the resources available rather than, you know, like I feel like there's some things that you can't realistically avoid. Things break,
yeah,
and things take time to fix. But I think we can increase like how much accessibility people have to those resources.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So just for final remarks, does anybody have like any comments about any topic of Res Life that they just like want to make a comment, like what's done well?
I think Res Life does respond pretty well to student concerns and what students want. I think, as you said, the burden's on kind of like RAs who like live in there, but also like you can speak to the office and your RDs respectively. But I think it really comes down to like if there is an issue and we don't know about it, we also rely on our residents letting us know problems, and also residents understanding like the scope of Res Life's capabilities and things like that. Again, we go through different providers or we partner with different offices like public safety, and it's kind of like compromising on some of these things. But what are things that we can realistically achieve? We can definitely like realistically make sure that people have access to like laundry, rooms, washers, and things like that with more ease. We can definitely like do better in providing. We can definitely do better in like making sure we're keeping up to date with fixes, with work orders, and things like that. All of these things we can do. But certain things, like obviously there's limitations.
Yeah.
So with the housing in general, like where you're placed, mm-hmm, I don't think there's like much care taken to it. And I understand that a lot of people live here and it's really hard to keep up with it. But last year for Schaller, I lived by myself. Kind of got placed in a utility closet, not gonna lie. I was right next to the bathroom, so the shower steamer pipes ran through my room. I had a big gap in my wall with the pipe in the middle with bugs coming out. And I had holes going to the bathroom with toilet paper stuck in it to, like, plug the holes. So I understand that it's very hard to keep things super clean for the next residents, but, like, it can get out of hand like that. And I kind of felt like, you know,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
My last straw.
Oh, I was livid. And then they stopped listening to me at some point, so my mom had to email them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how dare you put my daughter in this room? And they eventually fixed it then, but I had to live with that for like half a semester.
That's a safety hazard of its own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the shower pipes, but there was a big gap in the wall, holes in the wall going to the bathroom. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone should be, like, expected to live in those conditions.
That should be a janitor's closet.
What did I want to say? I do feel like there is an issue, and I feel like we're going to see change to that very soon, but I do feel like there's an issue with how people get placed and things like that. You know, staff is constantly, like, sometimes changing and things like that, so things fall through cracks. I remember that, at least for the gender inclusivity hall that's in Ronson and things like that. Some of the residents who lived there were like kind of people who just got placed there, not necessarily knowing that they were going to get placed in the gender inclusivity hall. So that created an issue, which like last minute kind of addressed by like splitting the hall into like half of it's going to be the gender inclusivity hall, the other half's going to be like the women's wing and things like that.
I want to ask you something about that. Last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Partridge, the entire building was the gender... Only the third floor.
Yeah.
Because I was saying, I remember a lot of sports people lived in that building.
A lot of the sports people, because Partridge does have, like, the big quad rooms, were like, oh, let's live in the quads, and to make sure that we can live in the quad... and not like just be randomly put into say Ronson. Let's check off the gender inclusivity so that was taken advantage of. That's why I got changed to Ronson. But what was unexpected is that less people wanted to live in the gender inclusivity hall. So it was difficult to fill out like a whole hall in Ronson. So that led to like the issue that I was talking about earlier.
So I do agree. I feel like we can do a better job with placing students, and I do feel like that's going to change for, like, I have high hopes for that for next year and things like that.
And considering the fact, like, the past 2 years, they accepted so many freshmen.
Yeah.
That last year, housing applications, all the juniors besides me, because technically I was a sophomore at that time, but all the juniors could not get housing. All of them couldn't, unless they were put on a wait list and someone dropped out.
I feel like that's, like, the main issue that was happening, like, an over-acceptance of students.
Yeah.
Literally just not enough housing for
and
that.
And it's not guaranteed.
It's
like,
not guaranteed.
None of the juniors got housing.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a little...
That's ridiculous. Really.
And there's a lot of space on this campus too, where it could be very easily for them to just create a new building if they wanted to. If they had the right manufacturing and like contractors, it could be done within 3 months. The pipes are already there. If you think about it, the pipes are already there, and this I'm sure this university could afford it.
They'll take their sweet time doing it.
Oh, absolutely. No, we would rather.
But it can be done.
Even like there are like tons of apartment buildings in this area. They could very easily like
buy one of them
mm-hmm. or contract with the like.
One of the apartment complexes?
Yeah, like, with the owners, mm-hmm. so that they can turn it, or, like, have an easy avenue for students to have housing close to campus, and at, like, at least a lower, like, rent rate, so that students can afford to live close to campus.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of stressful after your second year. You're kind of just thrown into... Like, okay, go find yourself some housing. Yes, there are some resources that the university will provide, but again, it's mostly figuring this out on your own, which is pretty terrifying to do as a 19 or 20-year-old student doesn't have that much experience with all this.
Can you figure that out? Like,
Would you even be able to afford it is the question. Like, I've been hearing other students who live off campus, there's like four roommates and they're still paying $800 each with four roommates, and that's excessive. And it's for an old building too, it's not even for like a new one.
Yeah, no,
just for rent.
Philadelphia is expensive, especially in like, Josh was mentioning this earlier, because Falls is pretty affluent, so like, living in Manioc?
Oh yeah.
Like how, hello.
Former Governor Ed Rendell lives here, lives in East Falls actually.
Sorry. Who does?
Ed Rendell, he used to be governor of Pennsylvania and also used to be mayor of Philadelphia, and he lives in this neighborhood.
Let's see if he wants to live here.
Yeah, so I just feel like it's super expensive. When they're saying, like, not guaranteed, they really mean it. They really mean it. And it's for, like, the majority of students. And I feel like that's because we have too many students that we're accepting, and we're not supplementing that with enough staff to cover the needs of all those students. I'm thinking about literally every office is understaffed.
Mm-hmm.
Counseling, student mm-hmm. health, Res Life 2.0, even though we just got new staff, right? We're accepting too many students, but we're not providing enough support for all
those
students.
Like, where is that money going?
Putting too much on our plate.
I just want to mention something about the health center.
Period.
The hours of the health center are outrageous. They work between, like, I could be off by an hour or two, but they work between 9 to, like, 12. They have an hour and some lunch, and then between 2 to 4, they work again. But people have classes during those times, so when you really need them, you can't go to them. And what about the students that live here? Because I don't live here, but I had an accident here, and I hurt my knee, and I needed urgent care. I couldn't go to the health center because it was closed. It was past 4 o'clock. What about the people that live here and they have an emergency in the middle of the night? Who's going to take care of them?
Well, for people in the middle of the night, you are right. There's the blue light that you can call for emergencies.
But that blue light, it's only going to do so much.
It attaches you to public safety. Public safety
if you need an ambulance, they'll come get you an ambulance.
Yeah, but do you know how much an ambulance costs if you don't have nice insurance?
Well, yes.
So that's not something that's covered by the university, so I feel like it's reasonable. There's students living here. There needs to be a health center open up at all times. They can't just be closed whenever they want. I don't think it should be closed at any time, even for lunch. I think somebody should come and switch their shift at that point.
Well, now you're faced again with the same staffing issue.
Why? We literally own a hospital.
No, that's what really
we own a hospital and we can't even have a good health center.
An accessible health center in the sense that the people there, they're nurse practitioners, and they have different hours. So one person is working full time, one person is working part time, one person has an 8 month type of contract.
If you think about it, if they had a better system for the health center, that is a perfect place for students or nursing or whatever. They can have their practice there in the health center alongside with, because like we said, that there's a staffing issue. All you need is one or two people that are really qualified, and then you can have helpers while they're also learning. I think that's a great opportunity for them.
That is, I do agree with that point in a sense, because I've had problems with accessibility, and it wasn't a staff issue. Mm-hmm. They weren't qualified to react or act on my circumstances. They honestly I try to get passes for coming in the class or skipping classes because I have fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. So accessibility said, well, maybe Jefferson's not the school for you.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
I try to get since they wouldn't give me that, I try to get putting in assignments late because I wouldn't be in class. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we don't offer that. But I have a friend who has that accommodation who goes here. She has the late turn in assignments accommodation, mm-hmm. but they told me it didn't exist.
Why?
So
did you mention that?
What?
Did you mention that? That somebody, there are other students that have that accommodation?
I kind of gave up at that point because they they accepted and then denied my ESA too.
Yeah.
So I was very discouraged from that, so I kind of just gave up,
I'm really sad that happened to you. It was terrible.
It happened. And I was going to say something. It's not, that wasn't a number of staff issue.
Yeah.
It was how they were qualified, and they weren't qualified at all to deal with that.
All of this money is being poured into this university for the facilities to never work, for it to be constantly understaffed in multiple areas, for students to not have the resources that they need,
mm-hmm.
To be able to get an education here. And so it really is what's the point of even going? Why are they keep raising our tuition every single year, and things just get worse?
I do have a theory that even though all this money is supposedly funneled, we pay increasing amounts on mm-hmm. tuition and fees and such, that money is definitely not being reinvested into this campus. It's
where's it going?
Yeah.
The lunchers? The lunchers were $2,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Or the hammock garden that nobody uses.
What is that for?
There's the one person who brought their own hammock.
Yeah. Which I think is outrageous. Who's going to bring their own hammock?
But I feel like the money is not being funneled into this.
No one's
going to
carry that around.
Specifically, but it's going to Jefferson the Enterprise.